hopes I rose above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion. I was soaring ever higher, but I flew too high. Though my eyes could see, I still was a blind man. Though my mind could think, I still was a madman. I hear the voices when I'm dreaming. I can hear them say, carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry.
Hey everyone, I'm Mark Marble.
And I'm Jim Ford.
And this is Lantern Cast Presents Green Lantern Rebirth, something like that. I closed the window, Jim.
Every time you close a window, you open a door.
An angel doesn't get his wings.
Episode 22.
Woohoo!
Yeah, today we're talking about the Spectre issue 23. This is the third part of the resurrection of Sinestro.
Interesting issue.
Yeah. Yeah, we got J.M. DeMatteis as the writer, Norm Brayfogle as the penciler, Dennis Janke as the inker, Kurt Hathaway as the letterer, Guy Major as the colorist, P. Craig Russell and Laverne Kinzerski cover artists, Valerie D'Orazio as the assistant editor, and Dan Raspler as the editor.
They shouldn't put that cover on their resume, actually.
You know, it's funny because I really taking note of this cover, especially after the last cover, which was like so clever, and like it had that pattern where it was like, how the hell did they even draw this? And this is nonsense.
It is nonsense. Unless it's just all supposed to be the whole idea of living a dream, but it's really focused so much on eating, I don't quite understand what this has to do at all with the damn story that we're about to cover.
No, it has nothing to do with the story. It has nothing to do with Sinestro. It has nothing to do with anything. With this book, you've got Sinestro in it. As much as I did enjoy the last issue cover, really, why the hell aren't you putting Sinestro front and center on every single cover and really playing up the aspect that Hal is Green Lantern Spectre? You know, like he's got that the flaming symbol out of his chest. Like, play that up if you want to get new readers. Like, this is just like, we've got an image, slap it on.
Yeah, actually, one of the things when you look at this arc as a whole is the fact that they did not put they avoided putting Sinestro on the cover for any of these issues. And this is also during the time frame when they started going off the rails, even with the font. They had a cool font to start with, and they started going off. Yeah, this kind of makes you think that even by the time we had gotten to this arc, they already knew this book was, you know, a dead book walking because of the fact that they didn't really seem to put much of an effort in. And this is the arc that you would think you slap Sinestro on the cover of this book and everything. And one of these issues, or probably all of them, to be honest with you, and it would help the sales. Instead, this cover would keep people away.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, so for the synopsis of this issue, if you remember from last episode, Sinestro had been resurrected and he had been given a new lease on life, essentially. But more than that, he realized what he could do now that he had been like an untethered soul kind of thing. So he's much more powerful. He's able to go into Hal's dream state and everything. And last issue, he's in Hal's dream state. Hal doesn't realize that he's Green Lantern. It's all his idealized fantasy world. And at the end of last issue, Sinestro destroys Ferris Aircraft. this issue, all of a sudden, Hal Jordan is Green Lantern again. And Sinestro thinks, okay, great, like, this is what I was going for. But Hal doesn't know why he's Green Lantern, and it's all a mystery. He doesn't know how to use the powers. He doesn't know how, you know, anything works. So he's trying his best, and all of a sudden, the Justice League show up just in the nick of time. And Hal thinks, okay, great, you know, take this guy away. And they're like, well, we're not here for him. We're here for you, because we were fighting with Guy Gardner, which answers our question from last episode.
Yep.
And we're flying around with Guy Gardner, and all of a sudden he just disappeared from existence, to the point where we don't even kind of remember him too much at this point. We struggle to even remember what he looked like. I wish that I could struggle to remember what Guy Gardner looked like. Now that's a joke.
Simon.
Yeah. So they're like, yeah, we know that you're involved with this. We know that this is a problem. You're at the center of this. And they're like, no, it's Sinestro. He's the one that's doing this. He killed Ollie. Ollie is all of a sudden alive again. And then slowly people start figuring out, as Sinestro's, he's killing Superman, he's killing Batman, he's wiping out everybody. And all of a sudden, the Spectre appears, and it's the classic Spectre. And he's, you know, going to take out Sinestro. Sinestro destroys him, basically, but he comes back to life, and he's like, no, I am Hal Jordan. And he's going at it with Sinestro, and they're going back and forth. And then all of a sudden, Hal finally wakes up from his dream, puts a stop to the fighting, and the dream world is gone now. It's just Hal. It's just Sinestro. They're in the real world, and they go not to Hal's temple, but to Carol's house. And Sinestro is kind of trying to rile him up and kind of piss him off and show, like, you know, you're not redeemed. You're not better. You're still the same person that murdered me. I know that you've got that same hate in your heart. And also earlier, he was kind of going on about how, like, you're the spirit of vengeance. I'm the spirit of spite. I am cosmic spite in the universe, as if, like, that was going to be his new role going forward, kind of thing. So interesting. But as they're facing off outside of Carol's house, where Hal just kind of, like, resorts back to classic Hal Jordan, like, you know, you stay away from her or I'll kill you again. And they're fighting and fighting. And Sinestro's like, ah, I knew it was there. I knew it was there all along. And just as Sinestro is about to, like, destroy Carol and her husband, that's when all the other versions of Hal's Spectre form start converging on them. Because as soon as he woke up from the dream, they all reappeared in this world, in this universe. And I kind of get the idea that the whole Hal reaction kind of thing was a distraction while they got there. Because now that they're here, they're not going to kill Sinestro. They're there to redeem Sinestro. And he's like, you know, like, hell you are. And he's, like, trying to fight them. And Hal basically says to him, like, you've got a choice. Either I'm going to redeem you, or you're going to go back to hell. And if you go back to hell, like, you know, don't worry. Remember, it's a hell of your own creation. So you can get out of it at some point, if you believe that you should be out of it. But this is your choice. Otherwise, I'll redeem you right here and now. And Sinestro's like, no, definitely sign me up for hell. So he goes back to hell. He's dead again. Then we're left with Hal and Monsignor Stigmonis, who has been orchestrating this whole thing. And he's kind of been in the background of the whole thing. And earlier in the book, he kind of knocked out Minerva Minx and alluded to the fact that he has something that he's setting up. Like, this whole thing of getting Hal into the dream dimension was a diversion so that he could start setting up some kind of master plan that'll hopefully pay off in the future, but God only knows if we have enough issues for that to actually happen. And that's basically it. He just kind of like disappears, and you know, Hal's like, well, don't worry, Carol, I'll protect you. As she doesn't see him, she's in her house, whatever. He's just kind of like talking to her in general. And Monsignor Stigmonis, you know, he's basically like, whatever, this is a dream. What's the difference between a dream and reality? You know, if somebody tried to wake you from your dream, could you wake up? Blah, blah, blah. Sleep well. That's it. The end.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of interesting things going on. I'm not
there's
surprised.
A lot. Yeah, there's a lot going on. I tried to cover it as best I could, but
yeah, I mean, first of all, I mean, some things that are minor in this, that and it, they didn't deserve much in a immediate synopsis or recap, but we didn't talk. They established that Minx and Stigmonis have a long-standing relationship. Whatever kind of relationship that is remains obviously up in the air, open to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
But they've known each other for a long time. It's interesting that Stigmonis has a lot more power than we might suspect, since he creates a whole lot of rules about what spirits can do and what they can't, including time dancing, which is an interesting concept of time travel that mm-hmm. is introduced in this book. That is basically the get out of jail free card for how Stigmonis is able to do what he did, because he literally is captured in that bubble and Hal's little fortress of solitude there is Citadel, but another version of him does exist, and it's via this time dancing concept, as Minerva describes it. You have the idea in this that the part of the Spectre that we saw at the end of last issue that carries over into this one, which was Classic Spectre, that still is another another fragment of Hal. Is basically almost like continuing the analogy, that's like Hal's get out of jail free card in this fantasy world. Yes. Yeah, this represents like Hal's will and his desire and everything else. And so when Hal first wakes up in the dream world and he looks like the Spectre we're used to seeing, this part of Hal, the Classic Spectre, basically says, no, let me have him. Let me take care of him. And it's like, no, because that's not who we are. You know, you are the spirit. It's kind of like you are representative of the spirit of vengeance, but I'm the spirit of redemption. So then he kind of pulls that part of back into himself, which is interesting because you have that part being reined in at the same time later on, all the other fragments, all the other parts of the Spectre, including La Femme Spectre there. They all show up. So it's an interesting duality there of how Hal uses his power. But I do like when he's trying, you know, when he's trying to explain to Sinestro when Sinestro's first, you know, when one of the many times in this book that Sinestro thinks that he has the upper hand when he really doesn't, that you have Hal when he says, I made a vow to God and to myself. I'm not Hal Jordan anymore. I don't deserve to be. Not till I've redeemed myself and my world. So it kind of, again, sums up his mission. And it is interesting, and it's cool. And it is cool at the end that despite everything that Sinestro did, because Stigmonis in this book also gives a little bit of narration like he has in the last three, but it's not as prevalent. And it's not as prevalent in this, but yeah, you know, he's talking about being disappointed, and it's like Sinestro, and it's like, well, not really, not so much, because I wouldn't expect anything else. But he hints at being disappointed in Hal, except then all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's my boy, because he thought Hal was going to basically give in to rage and everything else, and it's like, no, Hal brought everybody there, and himself, he was trying to, as Jim mentioned, he wanted to give Sinestro a chance to redeem himself. That he keeps trying to drive the point across that this doesn't have to be the way it always has been between you and I. You and neither one of us are the same people now, so we don't need to go about things and handle things the same exact way. So he's offering him a hand to take that first step towards redeeming himself, as Hal has been doing himself too. He's not redeemed yet, but he's taken several steps in that direction, and he's kind of embraced something new. And that's what Sinestro rejects in all this. So
it's interesting. I thought about it, you know, because of the way that you were framing it, that Hal as the Spectre has all of this power. He has so much power that in an instant, he could snap his fingers and Sinestro would be poof, gone from existence. Wipe away his powers, wipe away his free will. Like, he could literally do anything he wanted to Sinestro. He could stop him from doing anything at any point in time. But this entire thing, his, like, all of his battles and all of his things, you know, with Sinestro, it's just kind of a game of cat and mouse, as the only real challenge to Hal here is to get Sinestro to choose redemption. It's like an esoteric twist on the classic, you know, hero versus villain, where, oh yeah, you know, the whoever's stronger, you punch out the other one and then they knock out. Like, no, the one hero is infinitely stronger than the other one, but like that was never the point. The whole point was just that for Hal's mission, he wants to redeem people. He wants to redeem everybody, wants to redeem the universe. Now, the person that he killed, his greatest enemy, is kind of like his greatest challenge. So it's like, yes, they're going through all these motions, you know, all the motions of a battle, but it's at the very end, like, you realize, like, no, there was never anything at stake for Hal. It was just that he was trying to get Sinestro to see that he has an option, that redemption is a possible path for him.
Yes. And unfortunately, and it makes you wonder, even though it probably wouldn't be that much different, but it's an interesting game to play. If the more modern version of Sinestro, if the John's version or the Bun version of Sinestro would written that way, a resurrected Sinestro written in that kind of tone, whether there'd be any part of him that would even consider not taking the hard line and maybe being more open to the idea of the redemption path. But it does speak a lot. It does speak a lot for Hal and where he is in his journey. It was also a very interesting study on Stigmanis too, because the fact that I'm pretty sure we don't get any real payoff to this, which sucks, about what his master plan is. But he kind of opens the door for that anyway, because he says that kind of like, hey, it could be tonight, it could be tomorrow, it could be a few hours, it could be eventually. Eventually, like, people are gonna, you know, eventually, you know, you're gonna know why I did what I did and the point of it all. Which, all, by the way, also opens the door for someone who's very creative and to eventually open that door. Yes. Because you don't necessarily have to open the door with Hal being the Spectre anymore. The door can just open it in, because I don't really think we've seen Stigmanis since this book ended. But I don't think so. I haven't really looked it up, but I'm pretty sure if it is, it has to be in some obscure book and for like maybe a one-off appearance. But we explore his relationship with Minerva. We understand, you know, he's got a lot greater power than we thought. And the fact that people actually follow his rules, he makes rules that he doesn't follow for himself, but other people do. So what makes him that special where people would do that? The whole time dancing thing. There's a lot of really cool things in this concepts in this story. And then even the interaction with Hal and the Justice League and, I mean, I guess we kind of knew, realistically, we kind of knew last issue that, I guess, Guy was the Green Lantern we saw 2 issues ago, just because we knew last issue they talked about, hey, we keep having dreams where, like, basically Guy Gardner isn't our Green Lantern, but you are.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I almost did, too, when you first said it. And it's like, oh, that was 2 issues ago when Hal first entered the dream world, that's when he saw before he woke up and Ollie and Manhunter were there when he was working on his book, that when he first was in the dream, that we were trying to figure out whether it was Guy or whether it was John, they for all intents and purposes, they answered that when they gave us that little tidbit. It's like, what? It's like, you keep showing up in our dreams and like, you're our Green Lantern instead of Guy Gardner. And that doesn't really make any sense to us, but we know it means something. This is a really good arc. It's a good observation. It's really the fact that they didn't slap Sinestro on the cover of any of these 3 issues. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of dumb. A couple of things that I took notice. You kept on going back to the Stigmonus and Minx conversation. Yeah. They call themselves the Risen.
I think we've heard that before. For some reason, I want to say we've heard that in this book before. I think, but I could be wrong.
We could very well have it. We've been doing this podcast for so long that there's no way that I could possibly remember. But yeah, no, I just thought that was, I guess, a potentially interesting concept that they're the Risen. I don't know. Like, are they risen by? Because Stigmonus is kind of like a concept. Like, they're more concepts given consciousness than actual people, it seems like. But I don't know, maybe they were people at one time and they were given these ideas to embody. Almost like, oh, actually, I guess it would make sense because Sinestro was someone that had died and then he was risen and then he became the embodiment of cosmic spite. So I guess what they're implying is that Minerva Minx is like the embodiment of, I don't know, being the ultimate nanny, protection, and Stigmonus is chaos or disorder, something like that, something to that effect.
Yeah, I could see that.
The other thing that we don't get any payoff in this issue, but we see Helen see Minx like knocked out, passed out, whatever, and she's got like this angry face, and that's the only appearance that she makes in this issue. So I'm kind of hoping that pays off next issue. And the other thing, which I didn't really notice it last issue, but it was there, the Green Lantern symbol on Sinestro's cape, or that, you know, like near his chest, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, oh yeah, you're right. I'm now we got, yeah, on the upper part of his, holding his cape on it, on his zoot suit. Yeah.
Yes. It's really interesting because it's the Green Lantern symbol, which right now I would say it looks very similar to the Green Lantern animated Green Lantern symbol.
Yeah, I can see that too.
But the center is hollow except for an S, which makes sense because it's Sinestro. But the other thing is that if you look at it, it kind of looks like a yin yang symbol, which on Monsignor Stigmonus's head is a yin yang symbol.
That is true too.
So
the Risen, I think, looking at what I found real quick, I think the Risen was we were introduced to the Risen as a concept back when Stigmonus was first introduced in the book.
Right.
Yeah. So like, wow. It's like 6 through 8 or whatever, based on what I just saw real quick. So obviously we probably haven't heard about the concept or the name for forever, but as soon as you, I remember when I was reading it, it sounded familiar, but when you referenced it, it's like, yeah, I think so.
That makes sense that if they're these cosmic embodiments, that they would make up the rules for how they do things, and the one who represents chaos would not follow his own rules.
Yeah, it does make sense.
I don't know. Was there anything else?
No, I don't necessarily think so. Even though, I mean, I don't know, Stigmonus is such an interesting character. He just really, because it, and again, maybe that's part of the yin and the yang too. Like sometimes it's like he comes across as very either gender neutral or feminine sometimes, and the way it's drawn, and then other times not so much. So I just think it's very interesting. Yeah. And so when he's talking to Minerva and it's like talking about his plan, it's like, you'll find out, my dear, the whole universe will find out in time, perhaps a moment from now, perhaps a year, perhaps a century. But when the seeds that I planted take root and push up through the soil, and then it goes on for more. But yeah, so as far as that's a plant that we're still waiting to bloom.
Yeah, according to the DC fandom wiki, the database that they have, the issue that we're reviewing is his last appearance.
I think that doesn't surprise me, because I did not necessarily remember Stigmata showing up after this.
Yeah.
So if somebody's out there and wants to be creative as opposed to giving us some Ogryn crap, here's a beautiful thing, because in a way part of the beauty could be Hal could be somewhat clueless, at least in the beginning, because again, his memories as the Spectre are so foggy now, he may not have any idea who Stigmatis really is.
Yeah.
But Stigmatis will know who he is.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at some of these covers for the next couple of issues.
Yeah, we definitely went downhill with the covers real quick.
Oh man. Yeah, they went off a cliff.
Yeah, and the way the Spectre's drawn, the font, you know, the way they screwed the font up, it's like they, I hate to say it's like they weren't even trying, but it looks like they weren't even trying.
Yeah, it's just general vague BS. Okay, so I guess the one thing that we could discuss with this is how would you rectify this Sinestro with the Sinestro from the John's run?
That one's hard. it's hard to really reconcile, because we know this Sinestro is really written as old school Sinestro.
Right.
If he has any greater plans other than just, you know, being power hungry and creating chaos and making Hal's life miserable, that is, you have to dig pretty far down to find it. It's really difficult to reconcile as far as acknowledging that these really are the same character. Now, mm-hmm. now, which one is actually more interesting, or which one is more true? Maybe that's the better question. Which one is more true to the history of the character?
Right.
You know, I mean, John's did kind of go off on, kind of took it in a different direction and tied them at the hip even more. I mean, we know Emerald Dawn kind of tied them at the hip where Sinestro was his teacher and everything else, and made that part of the lore really. But John's made it like you couldn't forget it all the time. Yeah. Even if you wanted to forget it, you couldn't, because they beat you over the head with it.
Yes.
And I was never a big fan of that. I was never a big fan of I don't never thought that was really that critical in Hal's development, that he had to be, that he and Sinestro had to have that reverse Obi-Wan Anakin relationship in order to, I mean, it does it add something to it? Yeah, but I don't know. It's hard. I don't know how easily it is reconciled. Well, see, the problem is, plus the story doesn't, like we talked about this generally, we know that, you know, it has to take some finagling to even buy this story being in real continuity, really, because we know Sinestro didn't supposedly really die. But I know, right. I mean, you talked about different ways, and then we both did, how it could work. But if he had died and legitimately came back, then you could say, well, now he's got a different view on things because of being brought back, or because of Parallax bringing him back and things like that.
Yeah.
But since we know the whole Green Lantern Rebirth thing was that he didn't really die at all, that was just an elaborate construct by Parallax.
Well,
I don't know. How do you reconcile it?
I guess one possibility is that part of Sinestro died when Hal killed him, because after that happened, after Emerald Twilight, Sinestro, when he comes back in the John's run, is a completely different character. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like you said, they changed a lot. His personality is now, like, he has a personality. He's not just like an old comic book villain kind of thing. So there could be an element to it that the Parallax entity was protecting Sinestro, and it was just an elaborate whatever. But there could be an element that Hal, as you know, he burned away the old tormented soul of Sinestro. That's one possibility. I mean, you could also chalk it up to Zero Hour. Maybe he killed Sinestro in Zero Hour, And then when the universe restarted again, things took a turn. So there's a version of Sinestro in Hell that had just been killed by Hal. And then meanwhile, like, there's another Sinestro that was in a you know, like a brand new universe that ended up becoming the Sinestro that we have now. Because the way that Stigmonus works, it doesn't really matter across universes or dimensions or time or anything like that. So he could very well have blocked a Sinestro out of a dead universe's Hell.
Yeah, I mean, the 0 hour thing would be interesting too, because I mean, just from the perspective that, don't forget that it could just be where, okay, from a personality perspective, the Sinestro was exactly how we remember when Hal killed him in Emerald Twilight. But once the timeline got restarted, because don't forget, because Hal's not the one who eventually completely really restarted it.
Right.
That could have been one of those not so subtle changes that it could have been a subtle change that made Sinestro's personality different.
Right.
Or going along even what you, the theory, the hypothesis that you were throwing out, maybe Parallax took a part. He took the worst part of Sinestro, like an S, almost like a piece of him, and made that his own, made the construct out of that piece. So it was almost like the living embodiment of Sinestro's absolute worst qualities. So when Hal killed the construct, maybe he actually took some of that badness with him, leaving a Sinestro that wasn't as completely damaged and warped as the classic version.
Mm. Or there was a splitting of Sinestro's soul so that his body died, but half of his soul, which was being preserved by Parallax, ended up kind of... So you got, you know, Sinestro in Hell, and then the other piece that is now super, like, aligned with Parallax because... they're sharing a soul kind of thing. And then the Parallax entity revives Sinestro to, you know, with a new body and a new outlook on life and order in the universe. And now he's this master of fear and everything else. I don't know. Could be something like that.
Yeah, there certainly are different ways to explore it.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt that from a personality perspective that talk about night and day.
Yes.
Anything else you want to say about this issue before we put it to bed, my friend?
No, I believe that's all I have to say about that.
I can understand that. It's a household name. Anything to say before we exit stage left quickly?
No, I don't think so. Let's wrap us up and we'll see you all next year.
Well, we at least should do a toy podcast, if nothing else.
We may be back this year, but no, I know.
But we are kind of on a roll, and the reality is that we don't know. The odds are the other issues we have to cover in the main book may not be, and they probably won't be as good as this arc was. But there are some other stories, like we alluded to before, that we will be covering related to the Spectre that are pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So
wrap us up,
lanterncast.com. The email is lanterncast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, #geocast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, wherever you listen to us on. Please leave us a positive review. Last but not least, if you'd like to leave us a text or a voicemail, 708 Lantern, and let us know what you think. Good night, everybody.
Yep. So long.
To work it out, I let them in. All the good guys and the bad guys that I've been. All the devils that disturbed me and the angels that defeated themselves.